thank you for joining my podcast. I'm Gary. I'll be your host. And this is Military Illumination, where we educate you on what you need to know about joining the military lifestyles, do stories, share experiences, relevant insight, and real-life examples. You'll learn about things you need to know before joining the military, recommending the military, or a unique and eye-opening 2020 reflection. So let's do a quick review. Previously, we talked about the four things the military recruiters do not want you to know about. And one of them is the Ferris Doctrine. The other was the congressional leaders, civilian courts, and also the Judge Advocate Generals, also known as JAG. These are the four areas that in view, there are in view, the information is out there, but at the same time, it's not put out there. It's like the dark side of the military. This thing that they do not want you to know about. And today, first of all, I'm going to recap what we talked about. And when we recap about the Ferris Doctrine, the Ferris Doctrine is basically in its raw form, prevents a military person from bringing suit against the federal government or a military agency. Whether there's negligence, wrongdoing, or a house suit, they're injured somehow. And the best way to look at it is if you were a civilian and you were injured, mistreated, your rights were violated, you would have a recourse. You can take them to court. You can take your employer to court, right? Not the case in the military, right? The Ferris Doctrine prevents that. It prevents you, a person in the military, their families, from seeking justice, basically. Okay? And that's basically what you need to know about the Ferris Doctrine. It's something that doesn't come up at all unless you're in trouble. Unless your rights have been violated, unless there's a problem. That's when it pops up. When it comes up to a point in time where you might want to sue the government, let's say you went to the doctors and they took off the wrong foot, did an operation, or in one case, they left some towels in the body of the person after they did the operation. Those kind of things, you would sue somebody for negligence, but in the case of the military, you would not be successful. You're not able to do that. So today, when we talk about the Ferris Doctrine and how it takes away the right, we're going to focus on the congressional leaders. This is Congress, right? And in essence, Congress was the government agency that passed a law which prevents a military person from suing the government. Okay, I'm not going to go into any detail on it, but I will at a later time. But just remember that it was the law that was passed by Congress that bars a military person and subsequently their family from bringing suit against a federal government or agency, and of course the military. Okay. There's a myth that's surrounding, I will say, if you're in the military, or there's a myth out there that if there's a problem in your military, you're with your congressperson, and they're going to help you out. They're going to bail you out. They're going to get help, support you. That's a myth because that's not the case. That's just simply not the case. The thing that you want to understand about the Congress is that since the Congress was the one who enacted the law, they're not going to turn around and undo what they just did. So they're not your friend. They don't support you, person. Now, one thing you also want to understand about the Congress is that when you go to the Congress, your congressperson, let's say they're a congressperson, the representative, seeking help, or maybe it's a family member who's trying to get help for their service member. What you're actually doing is basically you're writing to an entry-level person who's going to read the mail and take accordingly action. They may pass it on to the liaison. They will probably give you some information about what to do next. I know for sure they will give you a form to fill out, which basically you sign, give them the rights to get the information and the rights to share it. But in essence, the Congress person will never see your letter or your complaint for two basic reasons. If it's a U.S. senator, Their office is in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Second of all, if they are not in, they're not in session, they're going to be locally, but they won't be in their office. They just are not accessible. And when you look at the when you look at the job description of your congressperson, your senators, and your representatives, it has nothing, it says nothing about helping out military people in crisis. They make laws. They represent people. That's what they do.
Okay.
There's nothing that said that they're going to help you out, because they're not going to. And a person has to understand that before getting into the military, or even if they are in the military, they have to understand that help is not coming through your congressperson. So that being said, one more time, I'm going to talk about the entry level. What happens to the letter or the complaint that someone's called in? It's a entry-level person who's going to read the information and send it along this way. They don't have the power to act. They don't have the power to make suggestions.
Right.
And they cannot tell another person what to do. They cannot tell another agency what to do. So therefore, it's, I don't know how to say it. It's a myth. Okay. Basically, it, when you think about your congressperson, you just can't trust them. If you send them some information, what's going to happen is that they are going to get you to sign an agreement which allows them to represent you, to grab the information and share it with the military, who eventually going to share it with your command, this the same agency that is doing the harm to you, to the person. I kept saying you, because I'm actually just talking. I want to seem like I'm just talking to the person who's thinking about the military, or who knows someone who is thinking about the military. So I'm going to say you a lot, but it's universal. So what's going to happen is the letter gets sent out. They gather all the information, and everything that is shared with them is shared with the command. The caveat is that they don't, they're not going to tell you what the end result what's going to be. You'll never know what happened. But what you can almost count on is retaliation. Worse off than before. I'm not getting that. It's retaliation. And when you know the Ferris Doctrine, you also know that it's going to impact you. Because the rights you have, whether it's with JAG, the rights you have, you don't. So by going to your congressperson, you are actually putting yourself in a worse situation. And that's why a person does not want to send information to the Congress or give it to a lawyer to help them out in civilian courts. It's going to be the same exact situation. Nothing in favor plea for the military person. And all a person only really has to do is look at all the cases that are in the Supreme Court. Look at all the cases that's in the district courts, and that, and they'll be able to see the truth of that. And you will be able to see the truth in that, that it doesn't go well. So the fourth thing I want you to remember about when you're dealing with your congressperson, a person, a congressman, whatever, your senator, representative, this fourth thing that you want to keep, a person wants to keep in mind. First of all, one government agency cannot tell another agency what to do. They cannot interfere in their work. Okay? So therefore, that covers not going to your congressperson about a problem in your command, because they cannot intervene. The other one is that it prevents the military, the Congress made the law which prevents the military personnel from suing the federal government. So why does it make sense to take a problem to the same people who created the problem for you? Okay. The person that's going to see the complaint is the gatekeeper. It's the entry-level person, also the liaison. And the congressperson, the representative, the senator will never see their complaint. When you write your congressperson, you're actually just contacting their staff. I just want you to think about the, when you think about the government, when you think about your any high power person, even the president of the United States, you're never going to, you write him and you can get a, you or her, and you're going to get a form letter back.
Right.
And that's what you get back, actually, when you do contact your congressional leaders. You'll get a form letter back from the military stating that, you know, they're BS and that they're going to autonomy, which means you self-govern, which means, like I said before, you cannot have one government agency telling another government agency what to do. But think about it as an elevator. And then in the penthouse suite is where your congressperson resides. And at every floor, there's a gatekeeper. There's some low-level person, some government, I should say low-level person, but it's a government employee, right? With a certain amount of clout, right? But if it's 50 floor building and it's on, and the suite's on the 51st floor, right? You're gonna, your chances are you're getting past the first three or four floors is very, you're lucky. You may get past the first floor, but other than that, you will not get past it and will not go anywhere. And also, finally, is that anything you share with your congressperson, including documents and letters, these will be sent to the military and the commander and the unit that you're complaining about. And there's nothing will happen, okay? Nothing can happen because, honestly, if a person can go, under all fairness, we're in the military. The military is in the business of killing people, forcing other countries to bend to our will. That's basically what that you're there for. The thing about democracy and freedom, it's an antiquated idea. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, right? That's what we do. We just go around and just muscle people around in different countries. That being said, it doesn't make sense that a lowly private can bring a suit against a general or colonel or his company commander. It's just, it's not feasible, and I hope it never happens. But you understand this. When you go into that world of the congressperson and you want to go through a congressional investigation, nothing's going to happen, but there is a 99.99% probability that the person will be retaliated against. And also, when we talk about when I'm talking about the military, the congressperson leadership is also true for every agency. You take this model and you can put it into every agency in the government, whether it's the Congress, whether it's the courts, whether it's civil rights agencies, whatever it is, even the IG. You know, what if you write to your IG in the military? It's going to be the same thing. That's the pattern. There's no way to turn. And that's it. As you're looking at the whole thing, is that you're isolated. A person goes to the military, they're isolated. Their rights and the rights that they have had as a civilian no longer exist. But yet, yeah, you're isolated. I don't know if that appeals to a person, right? But if you know, you can go to your congressperson to things like filing forms, directions, and basically who to talk to about getting something to happen, about maybe getting 2-ply toilet paper in the military, recommendations from military academy. All right, outside these areas, please take my advice. Do not trust the government. Do not trust the government agencies, especially Congress. After all, they'll be the ones who send you off to war. Don't trust them with your life. Don't trust them for your future, and don't believe everything they say. Now, the congressional myth is you can write your congressman and you can get an investigation going on to help you out. That's the myth. The truth is no one's coming to help you. All the patriotism that you hear, all the things that about camaraderie, all the stuff in the recruiting ads, right? And thank you for your service. Right? I call that BS because if you really want to think of foreign service, you wouldn't have the Ferris Doctrine. You would hold the military more accountable. Now, I'm not gonna keep going on here, but I would say it's better to have a good conscription or a draft than to have an all volunteer military. Because when you have an all volunteer military, you have to hide the dirt. That dirt is what's gonna hurt you. It's better just to have conscription, the draft, and have all in the open. Then try to hide it in all volunteer. And you make unsuspecting 18, 19-year-olds graduate from high school thinking that they're going to a career. And then they're going to get their college paid for. And they're going to be protected. And they're going to have the best medical care. They're going to have justice for them. JAG's there for them. That's all we'll talk about later on. But it just doesn't exist. So I'm going to refer back to a reflection, a true story. Everything I have in these 30 years is not just based on me reading the reports secondhand. I lived it. I walked through it. I've been to the fire. Things I share with you is I have it directly firsthand. So let's talk about my situation with your congressperson and not to everything I mentioned. There was a soldier who was unjustly treated, maliciously prosecuted. This occurred through a government in Washington State, to the Washington National Guard. I'm going to put that out there. And this soldier went to their congressperson, every one of them, from state level to federal level. And each time, a form letter came back from the National Guard Bureau. Thank you for your inquiry. We want autonomy, and we're going to do the best we can and stay out of it. That's paraphrasing the letter that came from to the soldier. It just so happened that the letter was sent to Senator Patty Murray about this mistreatment, about the fact that they were going to be court-martialed without the benefit of a military attorney. Yep, you heard from me. They were going to send this soldier before the judge without military, without representation. And what was Murray's response? That was the response. The soldier did have to stand before the military judge without military representation. The congressperson knew it. The congressperson did not, and Patty Murray's office did not do anything about it. When questioned, came up to the representative that this person talked with, that I talked with, and this young lady says, we cannot make another AC do something. We cannot tell them what to do. And when I asked her if she read, if the report was read that was sent outlining the situation, the person said no. The person said they didn't have time. They did not read it. They didn't know what was going on. And this goes to let you know that when you're dealing with the entry-level person, you're dealing with the low levels. They don't have a whole lot. Maybe they're just getting started. And to their come to the rescue is that a lot of times things that come out there at that level are really high level stuff. And it takes a certain amount of understanding and legal expertise to navigate what's happening. They won't have that type of that knowledge base. Okay? They won't have it. It's not a negative. It's just that when you're sending it to your congressperson, you're not sending it to them at all. You're just sending it to the gatekeeper. It was passed on through liaison through the governor's office of Washington, and the same thing happened. So I'm saying it's the same thing happened. They were talking back and forth. They can't make one agency to tell another agency what to do. And this goes into what I was saying earlier, that this pattern is everywhere. It's not just with your congressperson. They work hard.
Okay?
It's not just with them. It's in every agency. So whenever you're talking about being a military, understand what's happening, understand this. You're isolated and you're separated. And there's no one coming to the rescue. And I ask you this question, is this. Is the promise of something where there is no requirement for the promise to be delivered on, is it worth your future? Everything that the military, everything that talks about, that they suggest, they give you, they're saying is a benefit, can be had as a civilian, had based on what you're doing right now. You don't need to go to the military. It's right in front of you. The free education is right there. So I'm going to close with this. When you're dealing with the Congress, remember the myth. They're not going to come help you. They can care less about you. You're isolated and separated, and no one's willing to help. They don't tell you that, but that's the reality. So come back next time where we're going to talk about the court system and how it's impacted by the Fairness Doctrine. Have a great day.